The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
All right, I'm delighted to have Camogie legend Anne Downey on the line. Evening, Anne.
Good evening, Nathan. How are you?
Very well. Congratulations on the new role. You're the manager of the St. Patrick's Ballyragget Intermediate Hurlers. Caused quite a stir last week. Were you surprised with the stir and the amount of conversation that was had about it?
I was, to be quite honest. You know, I suppose when I took the job, really, I was just stepping in to help the lads. I had worked with them as probably coach 2009 when they were minors and 2011 when we won the under-21 championship, and you know, there wasn't much of a stir about things then, and you know, when I was asked to do the job, I was just delighted and honoured, you know, to be able to help out the club, because I'm from Ballyragget myself and they've been very good to us over the years, and all the times both Angela and myself were playing, you know, we got great support, so it's great to be able to give back. But you know, I just can't believe, you know, the amount of airtime that the whole topic has been given so far.
It's hard to know whether it's a positive thing that's getting so much airtime, that we're having this conversation about a female being in charge of a men's team. And I know Fiona McHale was in studio a few weeks back, who's taking charge of the Claremorris senior football team in Mayo, and it's starting to happen more and more, and it shouldn't be unusual, but unfortunately it is still unusual.
It is, yeah, you know, and there's I could name five or six great coaches, you know, Juliet Murphy down in Cork, Fiona O'Driscoll did a football and a hurling team, actually Father O'Neill were in the All-Ireland last weekend against Tullerone, and Fiona O'Driscoll had trained them for a long time now. You know, the only difference is, you know, the last time I was with the lads, I was coach. This time I'm manager. The easiest job is probably to be manager. I suppose you're just there because if something goes wrong, you're the person that's going to get the kick in the pants. But there's plenty of good female coaches around in every grade. And I suppose not getting the recognition, and maybe it was just the name that has stirred the interest at this point in time. But, you know, mindsets have changed, and that's a good thing.
Was it an ambition? Was it something you'd been thinking about in recent years, that you'd like to go and get involved as a manager in the men's game? But it sounds like you don't seem to think it's that much of a difference between maybe what you were doing before as a coach.
No, you know, it wasn't an ambition. You know, when I finished with the Camogie team after Galway had beaten us last year, you know, my intention was really just maybe to go back playing a bit of golf and spend some time in Kerry and all the rest. But little did I think that was going to change. And of course, you know, as I said, when the lads came knocking, it was very hard to say no. And it is a great privilege, you know, as I said, to be asked. And competition in Kilkenny is ferocious. You know, there's, you know, so much hard work that has to be done with every team to try and win either a junior, intermediate or a senior championship. So, you know, while the task is going to be an uphill one, you know, I'm happy to do it, and happy maybe to be able to give my experience that I've gained over the last few years with the Camogie. It's the same, exactly the same principles apply, you know, whether it's a male or female team.
From your time as a coach then of the male teams, have you noticed any differences? Like, are there slight differences in how you have to treat the different sexes, or do you very much go in with the same mindset for both?
Look, you have the mindset of both. You're dealing with probably 30, 35 different personalities. Obviously, maybe with the women, there might be one or two little different issues. You know, a lot of the girls I would have been involved with were still in college, trying to get a job, trying to work at weekends. This intermediate team are probably a little bit more mature. There's not too many of them in college. They're all working. But certainly, you know, with regard to putting structures in place, exactly the same. You know, they have to be fit, they have to have their diet right, they have to apply themselves, and you know, my mindset regardless won't be any different, to be quite honest, once we start off dealing with the guys.
You spoke there about maybe going off and, I guess, having a quiet life and playing a bit of golf and enjoying your weekends, and you had a little bit of time after last year's All-Ireland final when Kilkenny were beaten and you were in charge of the side. The fact that you've gone back in so quickly, would you accept that you're probably addicted to the game at this stage?
Probably am, I suppose. You know, you know, you come from a small parish, and like most parishes, isn't it the GAA, you know, that keeps it all together. keeps us going. And I suppose from the time that we were young, we were involved in with St. Paul's, then Liz Downey, then with Kilkenny. My father, Lord of Mercy on him, had played for Kilkenny, so obviously we had always that great interest in the GA. It's something that I suppose that we're born with, and you know, as I said, it'll be long enough I won't be able to be involved. I'm healthy, I'm delighted to be able to do it, and I'm looking forward to it.
The defeat last September then in the final, and you won an All-Ireland with Kilkenny back in 2016, obviously as a player you've 12 Camogie All-Ireland titles and still up there as one of the greatest, if not the greatest Camogie player we've ever seen. The defeat this year then, the three in a row, how do you deal with that? The week afterwards, how are you trying to process that? That like one All-Ireland final in a row is difficult, three in a row, does it take some getting over?
Well, sure it does, you know, a lot. It's actually devastating, to be quite honest, but you know, I'd have to say that we were beaten fairly and squarely by a very good Galway team last September. I would say probably 2017 I was more disappointed with the way things played out. We were beaten by a point the same day, we couldn't buy a free, there was a few decisions that went against us, you know, but that's sport, you know, you get them some days and you won't the next. But I would say probably 17 and 18 were very hard years for us to take, more so than last year, because they were an excellent side, and we just didn't perform on the day, weren't let perform, to be quite honest. So for the girls, you know, to regroup and be able to go back, you know, take some encouragement and, you know, some heart, and the girls have that in abundance, but standard is very high, and there's never a guarantee that you're going to be back in an All-Ireland. So obviously when you get to an All-Ireland, you would love to win it, and the heartache is, you know, does stay with you for a while. And you know, I haven't really looked at the All-Ireland since last September. I've, you know,
you haven't watched it back?
Haven't watched it back yet. Thought I might maybe over Christmas, but I didn't want it to Christmas.
I was going to say, yeah, you want to be in a good move over the Christmas. Yeah. It's maybe not Christmas night viewing with the family.
Exactly. But, you know, it's a hard place to be, Croke Park. Mm. I mean, it's, you know, when you lose, it's just devastating.
You obviously got Kilkenny to a very high level, that you're thereabouts every single year. Why step away?
Well, because I felt that I really couldn't give any more, to be quite honest. I had been there since 2016, 17, 18, 19, and that was my third stint going in with Kilkenny Camogie. I was starting back in 2002, and Brian Dowlin had come in with me last year as the coach, and he was excellent with the girls, and I knew if I stepped away and that Brian took over, that I'd be happy, you know, that Camogie was going to be in a good place in Kilkenny. And it is, because he has put now a great team around him with Philly Larkin and Tommy Shefflin going in with them, and Ray Chandler is still there from last year, so they have a great setup, and obviously Angela and Breda Holmes are still there in the background as well, so there's a great setup, and I was happy, you know, that I was leaving Camogie in a good place, and really they just needed a new voice.
It does mean that the 11 senior Camogie teams this season are now all going to be coached by men, and we talk about inspirational figures and how inspirational you are, and that, you know, you're going and you're setting a template that hopefully others can follow. And I know that the Camogie Association, just in the last week or so, they launched this new female coaching and mentorship initiative to try and help female coaches make that step forward. Are you disappointed in any way that we are in a situation where still, like, 11 senior Camogie teams all coached by men, that female coaches aren't being given more of a chance?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're not being given more of a chance, to be fair, Nathan. I think it is, you know, that it is time-consuming. Mm. It's a seven-day week. It's not just, you know, the three nights that you go training. There's so many other issues that go on around a team, you know. As I said, personal problems that the girls might have or the lads might have to be looked after. You know, that all impinges on the manager's time. And, you know, you have to have that time to be able to give your 100% commitment to any team.
Yeah, Sarah Donovan was in here at the weekend discussing that like when you look at managers, quite often now the optimum age for managers is sort of that 36 to maybe 45, 50 age group when they're trying to emerge in the intercounty scene. And for female coaches, that quite often is a time when you're starting thinking about having a family. And then it doesn't happen then, and by the time you're moving on in your life, maybe you're a little bit out of the game for too long. It's very hard to see how you fix that.
Yeah, well, I suppose that here in Kilkenny, certainly there's a lot of women getting involved with the underage. And I think maybe they, you know, they don't stay with the age. They pass on maybe their kids, maybe when they're 15 or 16, to maybe the man that's coaching. And they don't seem to go with them, but they're happy enough to do maybe the groundwork. But as I said, you know, fixed mindset that we've had, it is changing, and maybe with my appointment, you know, it will give the confidence to all the women that are out there either managing or coaching to stay at it, and, you know, to give their time. But it is a huge commitment, and you have to be able to give it 100% to be happy with the job that you're going to do.
Do you ever get the sense the lads treat you differently?
No, when I was with the guys in 2009 and 11, they had the utmost respect for me. And, you know, I suppose the fact that some of them had asked would I go back was, you know, a testament, I suppose, the good times that we had, and that we didn't have any issues, and I don't expect any problems for the coming year with the help of God.
I guess when you're discussing Ballyragget, the obvious elephant in the room is what happened back in 2018 after they won that county title, and the video that was shared on social media and all the controversy that followed. Like, the impact of that on a small village and the club, I'm not sure how comfortable you are talking about it, but like, it's this national scandal it ends up being on a very small place where everybody's very recognisable and everybody knows what's happened. What was that like around that time in Ballyragget? And, like, are people over that? Like, do you think the place and the club has been able to move on from that?
We've moved on from it, to be quite honest. You know, everyone makes a mistake. There isn't a person in the country that hasn't made a mistake. And I suppose the lads recognise that it was something that shouldn't have happened. But, you know, we've moved on, and hopefully, you know, going forward, we'll put Ballyragget back on the map for all the right reasons.
Is it something, as a manager now, you would talk to that group about how they have to act?
No,
to represent Ballyragget.
As I said, I've never had any issues with the lads, and I suppose I'll be setting down my own ground rules, and I'm sure that the managers that were there last year and even in 2018 have already dealt with that, so we won't be going back over. We're looking forward to the year, looking forward to getting back on the pitch, you know, getting back into the gym and doing some hard training, and the championship draws have only been made on Monday night, so we're looking forward to our first game, and that's our total focus at the moment, and that's going to be in April. As I said, the competition in Kilkenny in the intermediate grade is ferocious. There's no guarantees. You know, there's some great teams, Thomastown, Freshford, Young Ireland, that were playing first. Any team can win it. I mean, my job is hopefully, you know, to get the lads fit and strong, working with Nigel Skain, who has come in with me, and Nathan Cullerton, and getting the lads up to speed and get enjoyment and letting them, you know, enjoy their game and, you know, bring maybe a new pep in their step.
Yeah, the level of talent in the club game in Kilkenny is remarkable, and, like, obviously focusing on it more this week when there's a clean sweep of the club titles, with Conaghy Shamrocks winning the junior title, Tullerone winning the intermediate, and Ballyhale Shamrocks yet again winning the senior crown. I know Ballyragget, because of that 2018 success, went up to senior last year, find themselves being relegated. Like, it does seem as though when the players get back in from the county setup that, like, the standard is as good, if not better, than you'd find anywhere in the country.
Yeah, the standard is, I mean, there isn't really an awful lot of difference between the junior, intermediate and the senior. And, you know, while Ballyragget might have been a senior club last year, there's no guarantees that they're going to automatically go up. You can be sure that there'll be, you know, a club there that we haven't been speaking about for the last year or two that, you know, will raise their head, and they could well be the team that will go up. But, you know, and again, with a club, our small club like ourselves, we need to have everyone. We need, you know, to be free of injury. We have two county players on the panel last year, Kevin Kelly and Stevie Staunton, you know, and both of them were injured probably for the end of the championship last year. So every club, you know, will need their full quota of players, and hopefully that everyone is fit and well. And no, same with ourselves in Ballyragget, we hope that everyone will be available to us, because we will have to have that to be able to compete.
In terms of how you set the team up then, in comparison to what you would have done with the Kilkenny Camogie side, like, hurling and Camogie are in some ways two very different games. We've discussed this time and time again on the show whenever we talk about Camogie, and the lack of contact that is allowed, the tackle, how it, you touch on some of those All-Ireland finals that have ended up in a shambles because of the amount of frees that have been given, and in many ways it's ruined the game. Now, I know there's plans to change that and trial a slight change to that over the upcoming league. Because the tackle rule is very different in hurling to Camogie, does that change the way you approach the game in any way?
It doesn't really, and I suppose, you know, as I said, Nigel Skame will be the coach coaching the lads, and we'll discuss, sit down and discuss, I suppose, what way we want to play. With regard to the training of the Camogie team, it was always quite physical when we were training. We didn't really see it any difference between the two games, to be quite honest. The difference came into the game when you got a referee that would referee the game differently in a league than he would in the championship or in a semi-final, or certainly when you get to an All-Ireland when, you know, everything is blown up. So, I mean, the big problem that I see with Camogie really is that you haven't got a referee that's going to be consistent. You know, you get a referee and you know yourself that something is going to be let go today. You get a different referee and you know that, you know, you're going to be blown for everything.
Why do you think that is? Is it that obviously all referees are different in every sport, but is there a lack of depth when it comes to refereeing in Camogie?
You know, I suppose it's just, I would always say that, you know, a referee really should, you know, while the rules are there, he should really referee a game using his head. You know, sometimes they bring the rule book with them and they just referee to the letter of the law, which doesn't help the game. But as you said, you know, they're changing things for the league and trying out new things. So hopefully the whole Camogie scene will change with regard to, you know, the speed of play and the little bit of physicality coming into it.
Yeah, there's 6 trial rules being implemented in the league ahead of proposals for permanent change in 2021. No scoring with a hand pass, no deliberate dropping of the hurls permitted. Frees inside their own 45-metre line allowed to be taken from the hand. There's rules around quick puckouts, penalties, persistent fouling. But the one, I guess, that is of most interest is the contact area. It says a player may use minimal contact on an opponent's body from side on once they are making a reasonable effort to gain possession of the ball. Like, is that enough for you? If that's implemented correctly, does that change the game and change all those frustrations completely?
Yeah, but doesn't, again, how is a
referee very subjective
going to interpret that, minimal contact?
Like, what's a reasonable effort?
Yeah.
If it's an All-Ireland final, what's a reasonable effort to get the ball? You're going to do everything.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, it's up to the referee that you're going to have and how he's going to referee on the day. You know, is he going to be told, make sure that, you know, it's a good spectacle and don't be blown the whole time? And you can be sure that happens. You know, and you'll have a referee that, as I said, that will go by the letter of the law, and it may not be conducive to having a good game.
So what would be the ideal scenario from your point of view? You're obviously one of the most experienced voices in the game. If Croke Park came and said, "Anne, we need to change this. Whatever you say goes." What are you saying?
Well, you know, how different are we from the hurling? I wouldn't like to see the shoulder to shoulder being so physical, you know, that someone gets injured. That is the only thing that I would, you know, say different from the hurling. But other than that, it's exactly the same skills. You know, you have to be able to strike, you have to be able to pull on the ball, you have to be able to eye contact, the whole lot. All your stick work has to be spot on. There isn't any difference between hurling and Camogie, in my eyes, to be quite honest. And any time that we've trained the girls for All-Ireland semi-finals league through the championship, we would always go out with an intensity and, you know, trying to win the ball with a lot of physicality involved. And how different is that from a hurling game?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next few months. Thanks a million for taking the call. Are you back in training already? You're going to give it a few weeks?
We have plenty of time. I think we just give the lads another few weeks off, and then we'll hit the ground running sometime in February, all going well, with the help of God.
All right, great stuff. Anne Downey, trailblazer as always. Great stuff. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, Nathan. Thanks a million.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.